the theme, mindfulness of being, it's something that's been in my mind, this title, a long time. And that's really the background theme to what I want to talk about. And mindfulness, I mean, many of us have done mindfulness practices. I have got a lot of value from them. And there's, you know, there's different sorts of mindfulness, whether it's mindfulness of breath or body or thinking or mood. And that's all, I mean, that's all very valuable. It allows the mind to quieten down. We get a perspective on our own thinking, what's behind it, our patterns, our desires, our aversions. That's all valuable stuff. But I've always felt it's missing out on an important aspect, which is our beingness. We don't have mindfulness of our beingness, which I think is really important, because if you look at what a lot of the great mystics have said, is that, you know, behind all of this, there is something else, whether you call it being. I like being because it's the most neutral term. You might call it the true self, pure awareness, the divine. There's many different terms we can give to it. I like being because it's neutral. But this is what we're not normally interested in. The attention is nearly always on the world out there, what's going on, or on our thoughts or on our feelings. And we miss this essential quality. In fact, the word mystic comes from the Greek mystos, which means that which is not seen. And, you know, what is seen, what is observed, what is experienced is whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in our minds, all of that, our feelings. And the mystos is that which is not, we're not aware of. And so mindfulness, I think traditional mindfulness, is great for all that can be observed, all that can be experienced, but it misses out on becoming more aware of that deeper quality of presence, being, that's always there. So that's really the sort of background to what I want to do in these sessions. And just talking about this time as a background, but I want to talk about other things I say that are interesting at the current time. Now, one of the things about this is that it's not something we should go looking for. We're not seeking being or anything like that. In fact, you can't really put it in words. I mean, the mystics often say it's ineffable, meaning it cannot be described, it cannot be put in words, because it has no qualities of its own, really. It's just that sense of presence that's always there, but we don't notice because our attention is out on what we're thinking, what we're doing. One way I think of it, as some of you already know, is, you know, being, the verb to be, if we conjugate it, is like, or it is the third person, you are, but I am. That's the verb to be. And as you also know, I like to drop the I, because the I becomes another noun, another object. But just to think of it as amming, like the first person of being is amming, and as a way of pointing towards something that's always there, this sense of amming, I am always here, that sense of being, that sense of presence. So it's a way of coming back to that and bringing the attention back to that. But I say it's not normally noticed. But it is so familiar. When we drop into it, it's like, yes, this is it. It's not something new. It's just something that we weren't actually allowing ourselves to be aware of, or just to be interested in. The attention always goes to what is interesting in the world or in our thoughts, whatever it is. But it's about becoming interested in what is this sense of being, of amming. What is this sense that's there? So that's what I want to be doing in this meditation, really. Perhaps just leave it at that. There's more we can say when we get into the questions and into the discussion about sort of amplifying this more. So in this meditation, really, the essence of it is very simple. It's The first instruction is not following thought. It's so easy to, what we do in daily life, we get caught up in a thought and we follow it, it leads to another thought, into another thought. In meditation, we're just making that choice. Whenever we notice we're thinking, whether it's, you know, major big thought or whether it's just a little faint thought like, oh, this is nice, oh, I'm getting the hang of this, whatever it is, whatever the thinking is, just leaving it, not following it anymore. And then when we stop following the thought, we just become more naturally aware of what is there in the present moment, maybe, you know, sounds around us, what's going on in the body, that sort of thing. And then, and that's sort of more, you know, classic mindfulness. And then in that, just to open up to what is this sense of being that's there? So in the present moment, just coming back and say, what is its sense of aming, being, awareing, that's always there? And just being interested in what that is. I mean, Ram Dass used to say, be here now. I mean, we're not used to say it many times, his great phrase of his, be here now. And I think we put a lot of attention on the here now, being aware of the here and now. But again, that beingness is often missed. So what I'd like to do, yes, I just need a short meditation. I've got to bow here. At the end of the meditation, you will hear this. That is not a sign to rush out. I think one common mistake with meditation is people jump out of meditation. Oh, it's over. This is just a sign to say, okay, let's just gently, slowly come back to being here in this world as opposed to being there in the beingness. So I think that's it. So probably about 10 minutes. So if you would like to just get yourselves seated comfortably, wherever you want to be. And I always find the first thing that's really helpful is just to take a few deeper breaths out. That's always a sign that to the body that things are okay. If our breathing is relaxed, the body knows that things are okay. We can just begin to relax in the body. And so first of all, just feeling that sense of physically relaxing, letting go of any need to hold the body in any position or anything like that. And you'll probably notice as you do that, sometimes maybe there's a greater sense of ease, quietness. Probably notice thoughts running through your mind, little thoughts. In the present moment, probably noticing sounds around you, sensations in the body. So as I said, in this practice, we're not following the thoughts. When you notice a thought, just choose not now. We've said we're not going to, no need to think about anything for the next 10 minutes. So when you notice a thought, just say, okay, not now, later. And just when we do that, we just begin naturally to come back to just feeling ourselves in the present moment, just feeling how it is. And probably just noticing sensations in the body, the natural movement of the body as you breathe. Not really focusing on anything. I like to think of this as expanding our awareness. It's like instead of zooming in, which we do so often in our thinking, we zoom in on something. This is like zooming out, having a more open, expansive awareness of the present. And just allowing it all to just be as it is, with no judgment. Not trying to change anything. Each time we just come back, letting your thought go, just coming back to noticing not only the present, but noticing how it feels as we just let the attention relax. Usually some sense of greater ease, peace, openness, whatever it is, different things for different people, but just noticing how it is when we begin to let the attention relax. And then just noticing how whatever experience is there in the moment, whatever it is, in the background there's this sense of just our own beingness, whatever you want to call it, that sense of presence, the I am-ness. And I think it was just being, that sense of here I am. Ah, yes, here I am. Noticing all these different experiences and not trying to focus on it. You can't really focus on it, but just like however it is for you, it's different things for different people. However it is for you, when you just become interested in that sense of here I am being, that sense of personal presence. Just being interested in what that's like for you. Almost forgetting anything you might have heard about it. Just being open to it. And not trying to hold on to it at all. You'll notice soon enough, little thoughts start coming in again, or you're going off somewhere else, whatever it is. Just when you notice that, just repeating that same process we started with. You notice the thinking, just choosing not to follow it, coming back to being here, noticing any greater sense of ease that happens when you do that. And then as you begin to just relax into the moment, just again, being interested in that quality of beingness, presence. And don't worry if you don't notice too much. It's just the intention just to come back to noticing what's there behind all our experiences. So I'll just leave us for a few minutes just to continue this practice in your own time. Just not following the thought, allowing ourselves to come back and rest in the present moment. And then just being interested in what this personal sense of beingness is like for you. We're not trying to find anything, but just noticing what's there, that's all. Let's say just gently coming back. And if you have any questions, anything you want to explore or comments or anything like that, please just put them in the chat.
So I've got a couple of questions, and two of them go together, so I'll read both of them. Jeff and Alan have written these questions. And the first one was, would you speak about how beingness and love might be related? And then the second one says, when you talk about returning to being, does being have sensations, i.e. feelings like love, peace, and joy?
Great. Yes. Thank you. What was the first question again?
How beingness and love might be related.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yes, they're similar. The way I see it, I mean, different people express it differently. The way I see it, beingness itself doesn't have any qualities. But when we drop back into just being, then various qualities arise in that state of just being. One of them is that quality I touched on earlier, just being at peace. It's like a deep peace. I often refer to it as unconditional peace, unconditional happiness. We're at peace because of something like the rain has stopped, I feel better, I'm at peace, or my neighbor stopped bothering me, I'm at peace, or whatever it is, I've got this job done, I'm at peace. That's conditional peace, conditional happiness. But it's just a quality of peacefulness that's there. And that's because the thinking mind, which is what disturbs us and disturbs the peace, is no longer active. So it's just there's a natural sense of peacefulness which accompanies the being. And people sometimes say, oh, our true nature is peace, yes, but that's how we feel. The beingness itself, almost by definition, doesn't have any qualities. And the same applies, joy. What I notice is when I'm really just dropped back into that, this real sense of just innate joy. And again, something all the teachers have pointed to. And love, the word I use is like lovingness. There's a quality of lovingness. And again, I think it relates to the fact that the normal thinking mind, which is so busy looking out there, judging things or liking things, loving them in that way, is no longer active. And so it's just this quality of lovingness that's there when we drop back towards our being. And the closer you drop back, the more you begin to notice it. So that's the way I see it. And it's not a sort of, it's not a black and white thing. This is my experience. It's not like, oh, I'm there or I'm not there. It's like gradually I've noticed in my own journey, it gets clearer and clearer. And times, remember when I started years ago, I thought this was some other wonderful new state of consciousness I was going to find that was going to be different and wonderful and exotic and ecstatic and all these words I was reading about. Instead of realizing, hang on, it's just something absolutely ordinary that's always there. We don't notice it. But when we do drop back, the closer to it, and we may just drop back just a little bit, we just notice that sense of ease, relaxation. That's just the beginning of noticing how it feels when we drop back, that peacefulness. And so as we drop back closer to it, we just begin to feel that sense of openness or greater sense of lovingness, whatever it is. So I see these as qualities that are there, that accompany, that are always there in a way, but are overshadowed by all our thinking and worrying and planning and hoping and excitements and all of that. So when we just come back to our beingness, they're revealed. That's probably the best way of putting it. They're veiled by all our thinking. And so they become unveiled. So they become revealed to us. So that's the way I look at it. Always want to emphasize that because, you know, different people put it different ways. And, you know, all I'm doing in all of this is just sharing what I'm finding, learning. And probably, you know, months time, 6 months time, years time, I'll put it differently. Anyone else, Linda?
Yep, we have another one from Jeff Nelson. How much of our experience of being might be due to the relaxation of the left brain hemisphere, allowing the right hemisphere to come forward? This consideration is grounded in the work of Ian McGilchrist.
Yes. Thanks, Jeff. I love Ian's work. I love it. He's really put a whole different shift or a whole different emphasis on the whole left-right brain thing. And I think there's a truth in this. It used to be thought, you know, the left brain was the logical side of the brain, you know, the language, the mathematics, and the right brain was the artistic side. I think what Ian points out, which I think is, and he has, as you know from his book, piles and piles and piles of research, is the left brain is better at focused awareness and the right brain is better at more open, expansive awareness. So I think there's definitely an element of truth in this, that we're by letting go of the thinking and that sort of stuff we associate with the left brain, but it's more focused awareness, as we let the attention relax, then it could well be that more open awareness of the right brain is playing a role. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And yet I also get a sense but that's not the whole explanation. That's probably just a piece of it.
Yeah, I think that's an explanation of the process of what's happening.
Right.
And I've always been reluctant to pin too much on the left-right brain stuff. I mean, when it came out 50 years ago, it was fascinating. And people sort of jumped on it and wrote books about it and everything. I feel it's interesting. It's an important part of our makeup. When we just come back to just that quality of beingness, I think it's beyond the role of left-right brain. It's just... And from what, the great masters say is that as this awareness develops, then you can be, you know, engaged fully in the world and still be in touch with that quality of beingness. And that could be whether you're out there doing art or solving a mathematical problem. It doesn't really matter. But I think as a way of beginning to notice it, then the taking the attention out of that sort of focused way of the left brain, I think is an important part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as our direct experience of that, any explanation due to left brain, right brain isn't really helpful. It's just right. The way my mind is more analytical and scientific. I appreciate those kinds of understandings. Not that it's any particular aid to my own.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Right. That's how it's fascinating, but
yeah.
In the end, the fascination could actually get in the way of just that simple relaxing, dropping back. Yeah.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks.
Great. And we do have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, could you then call it perceiving with the heart?
Yes. Yes. I think, again, this is, you find it in so many traditions that, you know, our real beingness is in the heart. And as you know, sometimes in meditations, I, you know, encourage us to drop down into that space of the heart. So yes, I think it is. It's perceiving with the heart. And that's where that lovingness comes from. So, and it can sometimes be a sort of real, sometimes just an experience actually, like this is where you're coming from. This is where you're coming from. So definitely it looks like, oh, is that from Jana? Oh, well, of course, Jana, yes. It's from the heart, yes, yeah. And a way it's getting something else we don't notice. I mean, like we are so caught up in our minds, in our thinking, in our perception, in where we're going and all the stuff we have to do and plan and get excited by or get depressed by. I think, you know, that quality of heartness is always there. It's our minds which are closed. People sometimes talk about opening the heart. I don't think it's so much opening the heart. It's about letting go of all the mental activity that veils the heart. So it becomes more apparent as we drop in closer. One thing I wanted to say in terms of taking this practice out there, I mean, something that I've been exploring more and more is what I call micro meditations, which is just a few seconds, many, many times a day, just whenever it occurs to me. I like to leave little notes around the house to remind me, or other things, or between tasks, or whenever I pick up the phone before I do anything with it, is just to simply pause, just to pause in that moment and just pausing whatever I was doing, pausing whatever I was thinking, and just for that moment or two, just coming back, noticing how it is to be present. And then just taking a few moments just to notice that quality of however it is for you, that sense of being. I mean, one of the questions I like to use, which actually I learned from Rupert Spira a long time ago, was a simple question: am I not the one that is aware of all this? People, when they initially hear the question, it sounds a bit convoluted. Am I not the one that is aware of all this? It's like double in it. I find it much more useful than saying, if we say, am I aware, the mind comes in and says, yes, of course I'm aware. But we're not actually really reflecting on it. I mean, something that makes us human beings is that we have self-reflective consciousness. We all know that we are conscious. We all know we are aware. But it's going deeper than that. It's actually beginning to taste that, what it's like. And an analogy I sometimes think of is, if you ask someone, you know, is there a back to your head? Do you have a back of your head? Is there a back of your head? We'd all say yes, but that's just a concept, an idea. And there's the other thing of just saying, okay, can I sense, what is that sense, that feeling in the back of the head? There's a sculpt, there's a sensation there. If we tune into it, there's a faint sensation of there being a back of the head. So it's more like that. It's not answering the question, you know, am I not aware of all this? Of course we are, but it's like using that as a way of just coming back and just reflecting. Ah, yes, here I am. Here I am. And it's not anything different. It's not a different sense of I am. It's that sense of I am that is always there. The sense that I am thinking this, I'm aware of this, I am sad, that sense of I am. But it's just coming back to just noticing that pure quality of beingness that's always there.